she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I save my pennies.
Yeah, it is the SMTD with DB and TP. And I wish my initials fit in there somewhere to make it really hip. Waddle's on the board.
What's going on, guys?
I am the fake Sybil Summers. My name is Wally Lynn. And it's always great to see you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Wally. We're glad to have you.
Good.
Wally
good.
Makes us laugh.
Well, that's kind of my job. Try to make you giggle a little bit. Well, some things. A lot of things that we're going to get to today, including things like 5 options to skip when getting a car. We're going to look back at the review, the 2012 Honda Accord SE, the 10 best values in used cars, Ford high-tech equipment, which will help you park. And that one always fascinates me because I don't ever believe any of that stuff works, the helping you park thing.
It's crazy. If you sit in the driver's seat and watch it happen around you, because that's what you feel like, the wheels spin so fast that you don't want to touch it. Because it doesn't turn like you would turn it. Like goes zip.
Yeah. Okay, we'll learn about that.
Yep.
Then here's the one that I just can't wait to talk about because I've got a story about this. The cars that get bird bombed the most. I got to tell people something real quick before we get into a couple of things here. When you guys get ready for the show, I get an email from David. And it's usually 30 pages of information. So don't think for a second that Tammy and David don't do their homework for this show, because the stuff you guys come up with is absolutely incredible. I think it's, you guys do a great service.
It just sounds like we don't do our homework once we get
on the air. Exactly. Once we're on the air, you can't tell.
But we do our homework. We just.
All right. Before we get to 5 options to skip when getting a car, I wanted to talk about this a little bit because gas prices, and everyone loves to talk about gas prices, are falling fast. And they're saying now, David and Tammy, that below $3 by Wednesday, that's what they're talking about here locally.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think they'll do it for just a little bit. It'll pop back up a little bit after the holiday, but that will encourage more people to get on the road, because if they sell an extra million gallons at a few cents cheaper, I think they're going to still come out ahead rather than not selling the gas at all if they'd kept it really, really high.
Okay, right? AAA is saying that this will, I don't know how they predict this stuff, but they say there will be 42 million people on the road for the July 4th holiday, 42.3 million, which I don't know where that ranks in July 4th holiday
history.
That's
where it ranks with me. It's just a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. But here's where I'm confused. I thought that the trend always was, once we got to summer, gas prices start shooting up. And so every day I drive by the place where I get my gas. I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to give them a free ad. But
they're not that good, by golly.
But I always, it was like 3.19, then it was 3.17, then it was 3.12, right. And I was like, okay, when are we going to get hit with this giant spike? This is fake.
Well, you know,
that's what I was thinking.
The price of crude has dropped and dropped and dropped, and the last time I checked, it was down below 80 bucks a barrel, and at one point in time, it was 120, 130 bucks a barrel, so it's dropped remarkably, and you know what else? Everybody's pushing cars that get great gas mileage. The actual usage per driver in the United States is down because people are driving less and they're driving more fuel-efficient cars. So now you've got a supply and demand issue. The supply is outstretching the demand. So the price is going down there.
Okay, how does this affect Autoflex Leasing and just the leasing business in general?
I believe it just changes the type of vehicle somebody wants to go for, Wally. You know, when gas is cheaper, people tend to get those bigger vehicles if that's what they need. And when it gets really, really high, they start trying to figure out how they're going to cram their family of 8 into a Civic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they live in Frisco and they have to drive.
But you guys have to witness that firsthand, right?
I mean, it's very volatile. Fuel prices affect what people want to buy or lease pretty considerably, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and we are seeing that in the marketplace. People are shying away from the smaller cars. Let's face it, a little larger car means you carry more, your kids fit easier. If you're taking the neighbors out to dinner, there's room for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a little larger car is a little more comfortable. If gasoline is below $3 a gallon, makes a big difference as opposed to $3.98.
Yeah. Do you have a big big car that I can have for free?
No. Okay, next question.
Because I need one.
Next question.
Okay, so here we go.
I see somebody over there.
I'm so glad you brought it up, Wally, because I've got GasBuddy.com online. GasBuddy.com is where you can go find cheap gas.
Right.
Anywhere you put in your zip code. So, Murphy, USA, $2.99 a gallon. That's at 13739 North Central. Quick Trip, $2.99 a gallon, 9500 Forest Lane at I-635.
It's already down.
Yeah. Racetrack, $2.99 a gallon, 12250 Greenville Avenue in Markville. So, there's a lot of $2.99s. And right at $3 if you're in the right area.
It's going to be $2.99.99.
It is, in fact.
But gas is already cheaper, and I remember we talked, gosh, I don't even know how long ago it's been.
She's going to remind us of this.
I said it was going to get down to at least 3.25. And
way to go, soothsayer.
Well, that's been there, but I'm thrilled that it's dropped a little bit more.
Okay.
So
let's get to this real quick.
Yeah,
five options to skip when getting a car. David, if you can kind of run through that and tell us what things are out there that I guess are being pitched to us.
Yes.
That are something that you really shouldn't care about.
This is something that people run into. When they go into the finance office, mostly, of a new car dealership, or they have to meet someone in between their salesman and the finance manager, and it's their job to try to upsell you on product.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some stuff that's probably pretty good, and there's some stuff that's probably unnecessary. Number one thing I can think about that is unnecessary is rust proofing. Sometimes it's called undercoat. Sometimes it's called additional soundproofing. But cars are built now to a level that you don't have to worry about this, really, and especially in this part of the country.
Right.
Now, if you live in Ohio where they ice salt the streets every winter, then you have additional corrosion, and maybe there's a reason up there. But down here, no reason at all to purchase rust-proofing or additional soundproofing on a car.
Or fabric protection. I mean, just get a can of Scotchgard.
That's really right.
And really, there's enough. I mean, the fabric is already made of something that's going to repel. Just wipe up your spills immediately. The people who spill, what I see a lot of times, is if you spill something in the floorboard and you just wipe it up, but you don't actually go get your mat cleaned, later dirt, just like at home, when you spill something on your carpet, dirt will collect there because there was something sticky.
I always get that elbow grease all over just outside my... where just underneath my window because I lean my arm.
Elbow grease.
Take a bath.
Oh, my goodness.
Take a bath.
But you can clean that stuff up quickly, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I actually always kept a little bottle of Meguiar's cleaner, and I'll just spray it on. And this is something that we'll talk about later, too, with the bird poop. Don't let that stuff. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. You said bird poop.
Bird droppings.
Whatever. That's
spray
okay.
Spray that on your car and clean that off right away so it doesn't eat through the paint. So you need that for your elbow grease.
Paint protection also, David.
Don't worry
that. Stay away from it. You don't need it. All the cars now have acrylic enamel on them. They come nicely protected from the factory. If you'll wax it about once a year, that's all you'll ever need to do.
Wash it, too.
Vin etching.
That's a bonus.
It is, but you can do it yourself for a couple of bucks just by buying a kit at an auto parts store.
It's not a couple
and they're
of
gonna
bucks.
They're gonna charge it's under 40. $10. Under $10 for a kit.
Okay.
And they're gonna charge you hundreds to do it at the dealership. The one thing that I would think of that you could be met with to buy that you might consider seriously is an extended warranty. Because extended warranties, according to the year, make, and model of car you're getting. But if you're buying a used car that's going to be out of warranty, I would consider an extended warranty. If you're buying a new car, I would wait until the end of the new car warranty. And before that, I would look at an extended warranty if I were going to keep the car past the warranty period.
That is David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard here. My name is Wally Lynn, in for Sybil. And you can reach AutoFlex at one of these two numbers, 817 or 972-234-1212. 1-800-333-4. Easy to remember. And you can also reach them online at autoflex.com.
And so, you can call in right now and ask questions. You could text in with your questions.
The phone number, 877-881-1053. Hey, Waddle.
What's our
text?
Hey,
Wally.
What's the fan text again?
43733.
Yeah.
43733.
I'm a little bit out of practice, so
it's all right.
It's been a while.
I write that down in front of me so I don't screw it up again.
All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the 2012 Honda Accord SE, and Poly Razzmatazz won't make your paint last longer. Whatever the heck that means, we'll find out next on 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
All right, 9:17. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Damn, you quit it. Stop giggling. We got to get to work. David and Tammy with us. As they are always, I'm in for Sybil today and hopefully next week if they don't fire me. So the phone number again, 877-881-1053. Any question you have about buying versus leasing, what the best thing to do right now is, gas prices are, as David already just showed a little while ago, they're under $3 a gallon. How is that affecting your decisions that you make about what kind of car you buy? Anything like that we can talk about here at 105.3 The Fan. And the fan text is 43733.
Yeah, and if anybody wanted to call Autoflex, by the way, because we can answer a lot of questions here on the air, but we don't have the Autoflex computer system here. So if you're wondering about a specific car, you're thinking about leasing a car, wondering about how much that would be or whatever, need to call one of the offices, either 817 or 972-234-1234 or autoflex.com on the World Wide Web. And I've got to remind everyone that if you want to follow along with the stories we're reading on the air, we're doing on the air, or if you want to follow along and read a lot more auto news, autoflex.com, hit the Facebook page. On our Facebook, you'll find all these stories and a lot more.
Okay, we're going to read some of these fan texts here in just a second. And keep them coming at 43733. But first, I want to talk about this story, David and Tammy. The in-vehicle Siri has dealers and consumers buzzing. Now, a lot of people don't know what Siri is. I happen to know because my son has an iPhone. And, hello, Siri, can you tell me? And there are commercials for it and stuff. But explain right. What Siri is.
Well, what they're going to do with Siri is they're going to make a voice recognition system that's responsive to the driver in a lot of automobiles. Apple has made a deal with Audi Auto Group, BMW Auto Group, Chrysler, General Motors, Honda, Jaguar, Land Rover, Mercedes-Benz, and Toyota to include Siri's vehicle capabilities in their vehicles. Now, what this means is that if you want to send someone a text, you'll be able to verbalize, say, send Tammy a text, and then say what you want to say, and it will text her without you having to text her. If you want your navigation, you say Siri navigation, and your navigation will come up. So it's called the eyes-free system, so you don't have to look at anything in order to activate what you want to activate.
So I can be driving and say, find 1200 Alma Road.
Exactly.
And it'll
find it.
We'll see.
That's
unbelievable.
We'll see.
I don't know. Sybil told me that she has issues with her Siri and the Bluetooth when she's trying to use the iPhone in her car. Siri doesn't really cooperate. There's some issues. So I'm sure they have a lot to get past, a lot of stuff to figure out if they're already having issues just with the Bluetooth, because that's a Bluetooth connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, but so, the other thing is, this is a situation where the Siri is actually going to be integrated into the car, which is not something that is currently happening. So it's a different connection than they have currently. So everybody's pretty excited about it. You know, in the research they've done, they found that people will pay more to get a car that has Siri. The other thing is, it can't be bad for Apple's business either, because, of course, they're the ones that are providing it. Now, the downside is, and we'll see how this works, just like Tammy said, there's a lot of connectivity issues and also voice recognition issues with some of the voice command stuff right now. We know that Ford actually lost ranking in the J.D. Power rankings because
MyTouch.
Exactly. People were having trouble making MyTouch understand them when they talk like this Or maybe when they talk like this. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, you know, different people speak differently. So as far as audio infotainment and navigation issues, almost 20% of the people that had those type of systems complained at one point or another about it not working properly.
But if they fix it. Yeah. This could be Tammy's dream come true.
It could be,
no
in
more
fact.
Texting while driving.
Exactly. Because,
so, it's, yeah, the system has to learn, as you said, David, dialect.
It's still distracted
driving. If I talk
driving.
Like this and say,
right.
I need to find a
All
gas
right.
station somewhere, it's not going to crash. I don't understand what
you are
saying.
You need to find a compatible
saying.
Siri. I mean, I think that works fine if you're driving a truck.
Yeah.
We
have a lot of good truck drivers who listen to us. Be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a joke.
For South Siri, press 1.
I'm the biggest hick in this room.
For West Siri, press 2.
For Northeast Siri, forget about it.
For Jersey,
forget about it. Yeah. Well, and you know, the other consideration on this is there are additional charges for using Siri.
For Valley
because
Girl
then it's data usage, and even though you may have an unlimited voice, all of the carriers charge for data,
right.
and Siri is data, so
Heavy
it
data.
could run your phone bill up rather considerably.
All right, let's hit some of these fan texts at 43733. David and Tammy, I bought brand new headlights for $120 on eBay, and they came with all brand new bulbs inside the housing. And that even includes the turn signals and fog. I'm not sure what
lights,
that...
Fog lights. And
fog
he
lights.
Says that's a $50 value right there.
Okay.
I don't know if he's saying that's a $50 value for the whole package that he paid $120 for.
No, well, you know,
I think
he's
talking about the bulbs that are inside there. That's extra $50. That is a good deal.
Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Are you listening
Thank
to
you
our
for
show?
Sharing.
Okay.
is a GMC Acadia a good purchase?
Yes. They hold their value extremely well. It is a great people mover, people carrier. It's a very popular family vehicle.
Really cool features on that car.
And
really
to
cool.
me,
like,
the interior
you know,
has...
speaker jacks in the back and power plugs in the back when you open the tailgate.
I love that stuff.
And they've set that up on that. You know, the wheels are to the outside corners, so you have a ton of room on the inside.
To me, it has this interior spaciousness and the ease of getting in and out almost of a minivan, but with the cool exterior looks as of an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think that's a win all the way around. I want to purchase a new car. Should I ask the dealer about demo vehicles or test drive vehicles? Can I get a better deal with those vehicles?
Should we tell them the truth?
Yes.
Tell them the truth.
No.
Okay.
No. Don't tell them the
okay.
truth.
They're not necessarily a better deal.
No.
I love hearing it when they say, oh, yes, the owner's wife used to drive this car. We'll make you a heck of a deal.
When the reality is the assistant service manager who loved to race on the weekends drove the car.
No, not necessarily. They take care of those cars.
Okay. So here's the thing. Cars have a finite cost, a cost to the dealer. No one sells a car for less than their cost. So you can get a new car, and if you bargain really good, you can get it for the same price that they're going to sell you that demo that's got miles on it. It's just a fact. I mean, there's no one loses money on a car. So now they may be willing to discount the demo to you more easily than they would a new car, but the same. I mean, it's not going
to the cost. They don't get cash back from the manufacturers anymore like they used to.
For demos,
when my dad was selling cars way back in the day. They got when they punched those cars as a demo, they got like $300 to $500 extra rebate from the manufacturer. And I'm just trying to remember and paraphrasing approximate
right.
amount. So you did get a little bit extra discount because the salesperson had been driving that car for a while. So,
but not
anymore.
No,
not since the bankruptcy.
If you go in and you bargain really good, you'll get a new one for the same price as you could the demo. Now, if you want to give Autoflex a call, we can help you with stuff like that.
Right.
I have a question for you. We were kind of discussing the 2012 Honda Accord SE. Now, do they bring cars to you guys at Autoflex and say, hey, check this out?
Oh, yeah.
How does that work?
We asked them which car was for a car to test drive, and we didn't get around to the Subaru or the Ford Explorer for Waddle yet, but David test drove a Honda Accord yesterday. I couldn't join him. I was busy with a client, and I did want to reach out and say hello to some of those people later on, but you gave a quick drive to it, and what do you think?
You know, it's a good car, 2012 Honda Accord SE. It runs and drives beautifully. It will never break, more than likely. The backseat room is good. The headroom is good. The SE model is an interesting model car because the LX comes with standard wheels, no roof, cloth interior, or you can get
it
leather
wheels,
with an upgrade.
The
SE,
wheel covers.
Yeah, they're wheel covers. The SE comes with aluminum wheels and leather interior, but no sunroof. So for people that want a really nice car without a sunroof, it saves you about $1,000. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't ever crack their sunroof. So it's an idea there. It'll save you about $1,000. I did not like the comfort of the front seats. I mean, it was remarkably, to me, an uncomfortable seat for Honda. Lumbar support seemed to be way too firm. No bolsters on the sides, really, to sort of sit you and hold you in place, which you get sort of used to. The car runs and drives beautifully. I drove the four-cylinder, and it had enough power that you did not feel like it was underpowered.
I believe the four-cylinder in that Accord is plenty of power. I don't need a V6 in that car at all. It has enough pickup.
Trunk, plenty of room, low liftover space, convenient car, and again, a tremendously reliable car with great resale value.
But so, in David's opinion, different seats.
I would drive a car with a different seat.
That's your only negative.
That's my only negative. Yep.
It's a good value.
You have very little credit, but you have money for a down payment. And we're going to answer that question next on how you handle that. This is Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. You can reach them at 817 or 972-234-1234. And the stories that we've talked about today, you can also click on their Facebook page, autoflex.com. It's Saturday Morning Test Drive on 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Wally Lynn in for Sybil. She's off doing something fun, I'm sure, as she always is.
I think fun follows Sybil. You
know? While running the board, David and Tammy here as always. And the phone number 877-881-1053 if you have any questions about buying versus leasing. Or you can fan text 43733. Here's a question for you all. Let's go back to this fan text at 43733 once again. My friend is 21, has very little credit, but does have down payment money. Any advice for first-time buyers?
Oh, David's going to leave it to me.
You want to take that
one,
Tammy?
I have lots of advice for a first-time buyer. First of all, be conservative. Don't go nuts. Don't think that you need the big fancy car your parents are driving because they worked a long time to get there. There's my first piece of advice. But no, we can help somebody like that. You don't have to have a whole lot of credit. Just don't ruin it right out of the gate, you know?
Yeah.
Start out with a couple of little credit cards. But with a down payment, you can easily get a car loan and at a very good interest rate, according to the sources that we have.
Yeah, we have really, really great interest rates, even for first-time buyers with a down payment, as long as they don't currently have bad credit. Mm-hmm. If they have no credit, they're in great shape.
Down payment.
They can get a loan.
Well, as long as you said bad credit versus no credit?
Yeah, you're better off to have no credit than you are to have bad credit.
Okay.
And with no credit, you can come in and get interest rates in the 3% or lower range. So
if you have a down payment.
With a down payment. If you have bad credit, that changes everything. But a first-time buyer with no credit can really get some great deals right now because they're out there. And Tammy's right, not too much car. Look at new and used because I know Waddle said that he looked at it all the way around and he found out that the best deal he got was going with a new car. Did you have no credit at the time?
No, I had credit.
Oh, okay. So that helped you a lot.
Well, my cousin is in the market for a car, a smaller vehicle that gets great fuel economy, and the particular vehicle is a Honda Fit, and they're bringing all the money because in Japan, they can't get enough of them, so they aren't going to import that many of them here.
Well, and they lose money every time they import
They
one
do.
Because of the yen-dollar ratio right now.
But they
now.
Still bring pretty good money here, and I looked at the price between that used one that he was looking at and a brand new one, and it was so small of an amount, I suggested that he go with the brand new car.
In fact, we've got a story we're going to do a little bit later about good pre-owned cars to buy if you're in the market for a car and you're looking for a pre-owned car. And the interesting thing is that some of these cars depreciate so little over a long time, so that great resale value. Some of the other ones that are bargains are bargains because they depreciated so much in the first couple of years that, you know, it cost $25,000. Now it costs $10,000 3 years later. That's a lot of depreciation. So for a used car buyer, it's a great deal. If you bought the car as a new car, you're not going to like it near as well.
Right. Listening in San Francisco, this is a question from somebody who wants to know. Don't look at me like you're stunned, Tammy. You look at me like, what?
People listen online. Yeah.
Can you talk a little more about diminished value for autos after an accident during this weekend show? I have a 2006 Honda Odyssey EXL minivan, 47,000 miles, and was rear-ended back in February 2012.
Yeah. Now, all states have different insurance regulations. I can speak to Texas. In Texas, you can get diminished value if the other person was at fault. Their insurance company actually owes you diminished value as well as returning your car to its original condition, because once a car has been repaired, it's going to be worth less when you go to sell it.
Not worthless.
Worthless. Right.
Just a little bit. And you're right. Every state is different. I don't know why you wouldn't be able to get the diminished value everywhere. Who knows? But that is something they're not going to tell you about. You're going to have to ask for a supervisor and demand.
Yeah. And the other thing is there are services that will assist you in getting diminished value. And one of them that I'm aware of is Direct Appraisal is the name of the company. Their email address is directdv.com, or their website address, directdv.com. Fellow there, his name's James Walden. He's a really, really good guy. And James's entire purpose is to help people get diminished value on their cars after an accident. So if you wanted to contact directdv.com, they would be able to help you, walk you through it. They do charge a little bit, but they get you a lot more.
But they know what they're doing, exactly. They'll get you the money and you don't have to fool with it. I had a client that had her car 24 hours and a big truck backed into it in the parking lot and then took off. Didn't leave a note or anything.
Amazing.
Fortunately, another patron of the store witnessed the whole thing. He sent his family inside to have the owner of the Corvette paged, and he set out after that truck. By golly,
good
he got
for
all the
him.
Number. I know. That's something I would do. I'd be like chasing that truck and calling back and writing down all the numbers. And he even got up next to it so he could get a look at the guy's face so that he could actually identify him if it came down to it.
Now, wow. That's
my kind of citizen.
That's a good citizen right there, for sure. Leasing has grown tremendously to pre-recession levels, and I want you all to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, leasing's back. I mean, people are leasing cars at the same rate they were before the recession, which is great for us. Our business is very good. It means a couple of things. It means that now there'll be a good supply of recently used pre-owned cars, lease returns, coming back on the market that we'll have for our customers
in the future
that want to have, because right now there are no used cars out there, and used car values have really not dropped much in the past 2 years, because in 08 and 09, people weren't leasing cars. They weren't buying cars.
Okay, well, there are
they weren't
some
making
cars.
Cars.
They're 6 million shy.
Yeah, they're about 6 million down.
Because that's how much the new car sales dropped, from 17 million down to 11 million. So
golly,
that means we're
drop.
Down 6 million in used cars because those cars didn't get traded back in.
That's a lot of cars.
You don't,
17
I mean,
down to 11, did you say?
11 million right off the bat in that first year. I don't know about the
and
following years.
It dropped down to 8 the following year. So they just didn't build a lot of cars, and so now those cars aren't used cars. But with the onslaught of the leasing business, which is great, people leasing more cars, there's going to be more and more 3-year-old, 4-year-old cars coming back on the market that are in good shape. So it's good for our business, and it's also good for people that decide to purchase or lease a pre-owned car.
And the main reason you would want to do business with us is because of this. We data mine within our own database. I went through some lists. All my guys, they send out an email. They're looking for specific cars. When you call us and you want a 2009 Toyota Sequoia, I immediately get an email and I start searching our database for everybody that has a 2009 Toyota Sequoia. And we start calling everybody that has one to find out if they want to trade out of it.
Because they may be 3 years into a 4-year lease, but they may be able to trade now.
And most of them can.
And they get a new car that way, a new warranty, and the other customer gets a great pre-owned car that they're looking for.
Right.
So if you want to be within our database where you can do a lease for 3 to 5 years and have the ability to get out of it early simply because we've called you and somebody wants to buy that car. Or you call us when you're ready to do something, and we'll assess the whole thing, see if it really makes sense for you to trade out of it, and we'll be very honest and upfront with you. Well, you can trade out break even right now, or you're $500 to the negative, or maybe you have $1,000 positive equity and you'd like that back in your cash.
Right.
Or that cash back in your pocket.
Let me tell you something. This is kind of off the beaten path, but I do want to mention this to you guys, because I've had three cars through you guys, I think. Three, four, whatever it is.
Right. I'll have to go look.
But one of the yeah, go check my database. One of the great things about AutoFlex that I love, and I've experienced this because I call other businesses, you have an actual live human being who answers the telephone.
You bet. It's important.
And talks to you and steers you to exactly who you need to talk to.
And our receptionists are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They are smart girls, but smart ladies.
Nothing drives me crazier than calling a business these days.
Right,
and getting
one recording after another, and push four and push five.
Press one. Put in the initials of the person that you're trying to reach. None of that crap happens at AutoFlex.
No. In fact, right? Our main receptionist, Jean, has been with us for 15 years.
Jean's awesome.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah. Yep. The phone number, if you want to call and actually hear a live human being, is 817 or 972-234-1234, and you can read some of the stories that we're talking about today at autoflex.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about something called Fisker loans, because I know you guys want to discuss this, and we're going to talk about what cars get bird bombed the most.
And because I want to shout out to
there's an interesting trend there in terms of colors of cars and the ones that take it the most. And I experienced this firsthand when I pulled into the parking lot today. It's it's the Saturday Morning Test Drive on 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Wally Lynn in for Sybil this morning. I just had an ice cave. I hate that. Where you take a drink of something and all the ice comes flying at you.
An ice cave.
See this?
That's great.
We got a lot of stuff to get to, so I'll quit screwing around.
Hurry up, Wally.
My dad got upset with me for not getting in the ambulance in a wreck where I probably should have. This is Fantex 43733. He said the insurance company would have paid out much higher. Thoughts, please.
I don't know. He needs to call Mark Rubin. Mark's an attorney. He deals with stuff like that. That's not our bailiwick. We're car people. Although I think Mark's one of our customers, so we appreciate him. And I'd give Mark Rubin a call, and he can tell you about how to do that or what to do.
Can tell you about the 10 best values in used cars for 2012. We can tell you that.
Well, hang on just a second. We'll do that in just a minute. I'm looking at a Toyota Tundra versus a Ford F-150. Advantages, drawbacks.
Toyota is not going to ever break. The Ford is going to cost a little less going in, and you're going to get a little less when you resell it. So it's going to come down to which one do you really like. First of all, how long are you going to keep it?
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, which one do you like the way it drives the best? Because they're different. They drive differently, and they feel differently when you drive them.
Well, the Ford has the EcoBoost engine, which is an option for fuel economy.
Right.
And I would say drive both, and then let's work out which one's going to be the better deal. If they're the same to you, then go for the bargain.
Yep.
If you don't care, go for the bargain. That's what I always say. Spend as little as you can.
Thoughts on the Dodge Durango?
I like the looks of it.
I do, but from a quality standpoint, they did not do as well in J.D. Power's study this year. So, I mean, it's a consideration. Go to J.D. Power, look the site up, and see what they say about the Chrysler products and the Dodges.
And if you're not sure and you want it, do a short-term lease while it's under warranty. And then if you do decide you want to keep it, buy it at the end if you want one. Some of our clients do that. It's kind of an extended test drive.
All right, y'all. The 10 best values in used cars. Let's talk about what you guys think are the direction you should go if you're looking for a used car these days.
This is a story from Kelley Blue Book, and it's a good story, and they suggest some great used car values if you're looking at a used car right now. What I noticed in here was that cars are either a bargain or not by the amount they depreciate, and it's according to whether you're pitching or catching at the time. Because if you're looking at a new car, you want a car that depreciates very, very little, loses very little of its value over 3 or 4 years, so it costs you the least. What's it going to cost you? The real cost is the difference in what you pay for it and what you get for it when you sell it. So if you're looking at a new car, you want a car that depreciates very little. If you're looking at a pre-owned car, you might want to look at a car that takes a big depreciation up front, because 3 years down the road, it'll cost you a lot less to buy. So one of their suggestions was
That confuses me.
Okay. One of their suggestions is the Hyundai Sonata. Well, it depreciates 50% in the first 4 years. So a 2008 Hyundai Sonata GLS, it's a bargain right now. You can buy that for somewhere around $9,900.
Okay.
Originally, that was a $20,000 car. Now, if you bought that at a $20,000 car, you really wouldn't want to have to sell it 4 years later for $10,000, but that's what you'd be dealing with. At the same time, another car in that same range, a Honda Civic CR-V. That car is only going to lose 30% of its value in 4 years, not 50.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting it new, you want the CR-V. If you're getting it used, you might want to look at the Hyundai Sonata, because it's going to be a bargain for you.
And just so you know, that's a CR-V, not a Civic CR-V. That's the SUV or the crossover.
Yeah, it's the crossover. Subarus in that case, Mazda, same kind of an area. If you looked at, say, a Chevrolet Malibu, in 3 years, it's going to lose 44% of its value. Makes it a bargain. That car starts at 23.
That's incredible.
Yep.
Well, all cars depreciate like that really rapidly in the first few years.
Mm-hmm. So that car starts at $23,000. 3 years down the road, you can buy it around $13,000. So as a used car, it's a bargain. As a new car, you might want to look at some other cars, because, again, in the same class, you're going to have other cars that depreciate less as a new car.
Cool. Oh, what do you think about the Ford Fusion? Love it. Love it. I think it's good looking. Gets great fuel economy. I think Ford is building fabulous cars right now.
They did some pretty cool technology things inside that car too, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got the touch system, the Ford.
I believe it has MyTouch.
MyTouch. Mm-hmm. Also, it's a great looking car. Yeah.
It's cute.
And we're going to talk next week about some of the other things that Ford is coming out with as far as driver's assistance. And they've actually got a program that will measure how stressed you are when you drive. And we'll have that on next week's show. Mm.
Here's something that ought to get everybody's blood boiling.
What, Fisker?
There are a couple of senators that are questioning the loan for Fisker Automotive. And you can go to our Facebook page and read this story as well, because we can't go into too much in-depth. But, you know, the Energy Department.
What does Fisker do,
They build electric cars.
Electric cars. And okay. then A123 is the battery company, the startup company that also got a big loan from our government, from you and me. We didn't know it, but we were loaning out this money.
$249 million, is that big?
It's a lot.
Out of
$529 million.
Vomit.
To, you know, the luxury startup Fisker. Anyway, they A123 was going out of business not too long ago.
2 months.
2 months ago.
2 months ago, they put out a going concern letter saying that they weren't sure they could continue because they were having to replace a lot of batteries in the Fisker automobiles. They had caught fire. They had not been reliable.
They had manufacturing flaws.
They had flaws. So they had put out a notification they might not be in business anymore. This month, they announced they were going to hire 400 new workers.
Oh.
But I believe
And that money comes from where?
The Department of Energy.
The $120 million out of the $249 million they haven't spent yet. But this is because they need to replace 600 batteries. And here's the funny part. This is at a cost of $55 million.
What's that come out to per battery?
$91,666.
That's like the screws in the toilet seats that the Air Force was buying back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, if you start doing the math in this little story, it's pretty disgusting.
This is your government at work, folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there are things that we don't know, you know, right
clearly.
Here in the studio. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would be important for us all to start paying attention to this stuff.
Finally, we get to this story. There is a trend.
$91,666.
Yeah, thank you.
Each.
There is a trend. Someone did a study on what cars get bombed most by birds.
Speaking of government surveys.
and they have now determined.
And this was not in America where they did this study. So, David, go ahead.
Thanks to our good folks over in England, in the United Kingdom. They've determined that the color with the greatest appeal to birds when they're firing from above is red.
Bright red. They didn't say maroon or burgundy. Bright red.
18% of all overall bird poop goes on red cars.
Well, on cars, overall bird poop.
You're not going to believe this. I park my car, and I get out of my car today in the parking garage. Yeah, because they were doing some work out front. Right. And I get out, and there's a red car next to me, and it's got a giant bomb on it.
Wonderful.
And then you come in for this story. Number two color is blue. Oh, get that, number two color, blue. Black is 11%, blue is 14%, white 7%, gray or silver 3%, and green is the least bird-friendly color at 1%.
Because so the birds don't like to poop on green, I guess.
Yeah, and there are not any real green birds. There are a lot of red birds, there are a lot of blue birds, there are a lot of black birds.
But that was really important information that everybody really wanted to know, right?
So if you have a red car, be warned.
You'll be spending more money washing your car than all the other colors.
It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive, 817 or 972-234-1234. Autoflex is open for business today. Go see them. My name is Wally Lennon for Sybil. We'll see you next week. Yes, I'm stuck.